Why? Because you know the ending, and the ending is Easter. So no matter how tragic it is, that's never the last word. And that's the problem with a text like this, is you know about Good Friday. You're not preaching to people who have no idea. Now, if all of a sudden you went to some remote area of Madagascar or something, we're preaching to some people, and you say, you know, maybe he'll do this, and wah, you know. But But I wonder if a passage like this wouldn't perhaps be appropriate, let's say, in a context of people who really had fallen away. In other words, if people are sort of faithfully coming and waiting to hear the word, it'd be sort of like, how would you preach that text to Simeon and Anna? See, which is different than preaching it to the Pharisees, for example. But that's a real challenge. Okay, Mark 10, verses 17 to 27, continuing on from last week. And it starts out with a genitive absolute, which it turns out is not absolute. Ek proiamenu autu, as he was journeying, perhaps in the way, he had kind of gone back onto the path or into the way. That's that ice meaning end, but probably indicating he had kind of gotten back onto the road. Pros dramon. That's from trecho. Trecho dramumai edramon, one of the great classical words with two different roots. It's an aorist active participle. Having run to him, heis, one guy, that's not ice, but heis, one guy, and goni petesas. Goni peteo is to kneel before. So one guy, having run up to him and knelt before auton him, eperota, we've seen this before, that's that a-o contract verb, eperotao. He proceeded, began to ask him, teacher, good teacher, agathe. Notice those endings, didaskale, agathe. Those are vocative case. Good teacher, what shall I do, hina, in order that I may kleronomeso? That would actually be first singular aorist subjunctive active, not future indicative because of the hina. In order that I may inherit eternal life. Now, you notice poieso, that could be a future, probably, but it could also be an aorist subjunctive, what shall I do, kind of mulling it over in his mind. So that would be deliberative. Hode Jesus eipen auto. Jesus said to him, Ti me legais agathon. Why do you say me to be good? Why do you say that I am good? Now, usually that's translated, why do you call me good? But actually, the Greek would be a little bit better as an accusative for kind of indirect discourse. Why do you say that I am good? Udais, no one, agathos, is good. I may accept one, God. You know, oidas, that's a perfect that functions as a present. You know tas and talas, you know the commandments. Notice how I did that with my voice. That really reflects the word order. You know the commandments. The commandments you know. Me phanoises, you shall, thou shalt not kill, murder. Me plus the aorist subjunctive as a negative command. Me moichoises, you shall not commit adultery. The better way to say it is don't commit adultery. Right. Because it's not u plus the future indicative. Me klepses, don't steal. Me pseudomartyreses, don't bear false witness. Now look at this interesting one, which is omitted in some manuscripts. Me apostereses, don't defraud or take stuff away from people, make them to lack. I suppose that's reflecting like the ninth and the tenth commandments. I'm not quite sure. Tima, present imperative, a-o contract verb, honor your father and mother. Note that nice Greek dropping of the su in between the two objects. Hode efe auto, nice Greek touch. But he, switching the subject, efe, third singular imperfect indicative active of femi, said, replied, uttered to him, didaskale, teacher, tauta panta ephilaxamen ek neotetosmu. All these things I kept for myself in my own interest. I was really interested in doing it, vels middle. That is to say, it doesn't mean I protected myself. It means I kept it, and I was really interested in getting this thing done. From the neotes is youth, from my youth. Hore Jesus, and Jesus, emblepsas, looking into him, loved him. Oh, what an interesting line, one of those nifty Markan lines that that just causes you to stop, and said to him, and I think that agape sin is perhaps reflective of the middle of ephiloxamen. You know, that I really, all these things, I really was interested in doing from a youth. Not just something, coldly, all these things I have kept from the youth. No, I was really very interested in this. Now, the next part here, hense hysterai, is a little bit mysterious. I took a look in a few lexicons on this. Hystereo means to lack or to be missing or to be inferior to, but it's normally with the genitive. So usually this is translated, one thing you lack. Well, you'll notice that hen is either nominative or accusative, and se is certainly accusative. There's not a genitive there. So I think we should take it something like this. Hystereo can also mean to fail, to give out. Hen is the subject. One thing fails you. By the way, interestingly, Paul, in Psalm 22 in the Septuagint, the Lord is my shepherd, nothing do I lack, is exactly this construction. Nothing fails me, something like that. So one thing fails you. Hypaga, imperative, go. As many things as you have, po leison, second person singular, aorist imperative active, sell and dos, give, second singular aorist imperative active, give tois ptochois to the poor, and you will have thesauron, a treasure, en ureno, in heaven. And doira, come here. C-O-M apostrophe E-R-E, come here. Come here. Akaluthai, second singular, look at that form, please. Second singular present imperative active of an eo contract verb. Follow me. Why present? Why present? Either it's emphatic, or he's taking it as a policy command that the person ought to do it for his life. Could well be emphatic. Hode, switching subjects, stignasa, stignazo is to, like, be chagrined, to be chagrined. But he, having been chagrined at the discussion, at the word, at the matter, the logos, notice another excellent example of logos not meaning word in the sense of vocable. You know, he wasn't shocked at the word hysterai, so he was chagrined at the matter, went away lupuminous. That's a present passive participle used in the active but intransitive sense of grieving, being sad. Why? Ein gar echon, for he was having, note that that periphrastic formation, ein plus the participle, he had in the sense of he was in constant possession of, ktemata pola, many possessions, ktemar, stuff that you've kataomide, stuff that you have gotten. Kai, periblepsamenos ha Jesus, and upon looking around, Jesus says to his disciples, now this is, Mark's got always got these details, so you can just imagine Jesus talking to this guy, and then he kind of goes, and he looks around at them to see how they're reacting, and the group of thick as two short planks folks are going to be a little put out by this. He says, how diskolos, difficultly, adverb, hoi echontes ta chremata, the people having stuff, chremata is material goods. I would say ktemata, notice that's not the same, ktemata is more stuff you acquire, chremata would be the goods. How difficult people having goods, eis eloisantai, future middle, but of course it's a deponent from Erechomai, will go into the kingdom of God. Hoi demathetai ethambunta, thambeo means to, it's a passive, one of those passives used in the active intransitive sense, to be shocked. The disciples were shocked at his words. At his sayings, words, right? That's probably meaning words right there. And Jesus, again, upon reply, says to them, now you'll notice there, you've got that legai again, instead of the a past tense, that kind of focuses it for it, foregrounds it for it. Techna, children, post discolon estin, how hard it is, eis elthine, to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I'd like you to note right there, if you would please, the variant reading. The variant reading is an interesting one in that verse, in verse 24, and that is quite an addition. You'll notice that it's an addition which the King James had. How difficult that those trusting in chrema sin enter into the kingdom. So that it's interesting how that actually continues, you know, exactly the thing on riches, whereas the better texts seem to broaden this out a little bit, how difficult it is to enter into the kingdom of God. Oikopoteron, oikopos, is easy, well cut, easier, it is that, you need an infinitive now, that a camelon, that a camel, dielfine, go through the trimalea, the eye, the hole of a raphis, that's a needle, the eye of the, well, it's either the eye of the needle or an eye of a needle, than a rich man into the kingdom of God to go. Now, there's always a discussion about this. Was there this gate called the eye of the needle? In which case, it was supposedly this narrow gate and the camel had to get down on its knees and crawl through and so on like that. I don't know. Jesus is probably, if there was something like that, is probably doing at least a double entendre here. You might be thinking about that, but he's talking about kind of an impossibility here, really, namely about camels going through the needle, the eye of the needle, and that'd be impossible. Hoi dea. And they, perissos, greatly ex eplesanta, were astonished, saying, pros haltus, to themselves, to one another, and who is able to be saved? Well, you know, now this is partly because the rich were seen as people who were blessed by God. Well, if the rich people can't get in, then who is able to be saved? emblepsos. Notice that same word that Jesus used for the young man. And upon peering into them, Jesus says, para anthropois, as far as men, people, are concerned, it's impossible, but not para theo, not as far as God is concerned. For all things dunata are possible, para to theo, next to God, as far as God is concerned. Now, you know, I think Jesus' reply at the end there about it's impossible with man but possible with God, to me, leads me not to adopt the interpretation of the camel and the eye of the needle as being the camels going through the gates. I think it has to do with the impossibility of it, and therefore it is only possible with God. Okay, very good. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the question is here, why does he pick a camel? Now, I don't know, I hadn't thought about that, but I suppose, do you think perhaps the camel would have, in just popular parlance, been sort of the biggest animal, like we would say, it's harder for an elephant to go through the eye of a needle. All right, now, are there things bigger than elephants? Well, some whales are bigger than elephants. But, you know, that's kind of not the popular thing. And I guess that's just what I've always thought, is that the camel would be the largest commonly known thing that you talk about.